Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'ul Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Bamin. Online we have his Mawlana Muhammad Ali. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, we hope you're having a good Jummah Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala accept. Allah give you the same.
Ameen. Now we can get on with the program.
Jazakumullah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله يعصمك من الناس صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to continue showering His blessings upon us, not to deny us and to deprive us because of our own weakness, because of our own shortcomings, because of our own disobedience, because of our own ingratitude. May Allah Ta'ala enable us to acknowledge these blessings and also enable us to be able to render thanks and shukr for them. Alhamdulillah, it is Allah's favor upon us that He has chosen Deenul Islam for us, and the way to tread on the way, on the path of Deenul Islam, is only the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only way for salvation is the path shown by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only way that will be accepted and is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person to enter into Jannah is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only thing that will be the cause of earning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To follow on his sunnahs and to follow on his lifestyle. And the only thing that will enter us into Jannah forever and ever is the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily for you in the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most beautiful example. فَهُ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. For those people who are hoping and who expect to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who are expecting the day of Qiyamah. So, the day of Qiyamah is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reckon us, and the only success that a person will find will be if he had followed the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ta'ala has been kind upon the believers that He chose a group of noble and loyal companions for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi majma'in, who watched, who heard, and who made every effort to practice on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and diligently preserve and thereafter transmit the sunnah for us. And alhamdulillah, today when we follow the sunnah, we always will link it up to one or other Sahabi who had heard or seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practice that particular sunnah. Minus the Sahaba, we will have no idea of what the particular sunnah is or how a certain act should be carried out. May Allah Ta'ala grant them a befitting reward on behalf of the Ummah, the noble Sahaba, starting from Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and throughout all the other Sahaba who came in the annals of the period of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's noble life. Alhamdulillah. We are discussing the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From last week we spoke about his name, and we said these are three names that have got the same connotations or are similar in meaning. And these are names that have also been recorded by the ulama and the muhaddithin and the scholars, where the meaning is given of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being divinely protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his name is Al-Mahfuz, and his name is Al-Ma'mun, and his name is Al-Ma'soom. And all these names have got a similar meaning. Mahfuz will mean protected. Ma'mun will mean one who is under safety and security. And Ma'soom will also mean one who is fortified and one who is saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the three names that we are discussing, because they have got the similar connotations. Therefore, we are discussing them under one name, Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made sure that the mission that they had come with was carried out duly and diligently. And in the process of them carrying out the task, Allah ta'ala protected them. And we are talking about the protection and the safety and the security and the fortification that was divinely bestowed upon Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the guarantee of protection given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that earned him this particular name. And while we are discussing this name, there is a great amount of inspiration and guarantee for us also if we are carrying out any mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially those missions and those works where we invite the displeasure of the enemies of Allah, then we need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection and safety and security will also envelop us, as well as it had enveloped Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, one of the qualities of the believers is this, and the followers of the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is this: وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمْ. They do not fear the taunts and the criticism of those who criticize them, because at the end of the day, they have got full tawakkul, full belief in what they are doing, and also they hand themselves over to the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was continuously faced with different dangers at all times, where he was watched, where he was being followed, and or wherever the opportunity arose, he was also attacked by the enemies. But we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected him. And there are those places where it might appear that the protection of Allah was not there and he was hurt and harmed. But no, actually, that is also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom to show that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a human being, also suffered pain, also was overtaken by danger from time to time, so that the ummah can take lesson from there and be comforted that if this happened to our Prophet by the will of Allah, occasionally something can also happen to us. And how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reacted, that is how we also are going to react. For example, we give the example of the Battle of Uhud, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was attacked, where he was hurt, his tooth was broken, and so forth. But with all of that, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He took the punishment, or he took the beating, as we want to say, from the enemy, but he made dua for them at the same time. So that was the lesson that was taught to us there. We'll continue with another few examples of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the course of his mission. And we look at the story of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now the story is very, very well known to us. And it is also well known that Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in the early stages of Islam, in fact up to the point when the Muslimin had returned from the first hijrah to Abyssinia, till that time Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was an avowed and sworn enemy of Islam and of the Muslims, to such an extent that if he had come to know that anyone had accepted the deen, he personally made it his mission to deal with that fellow most severely and to beat him up and do whatever he could to persecute him. And it was in this regard that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu always lay in wait and was looking for that opportunity to attack Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is one incident that has been mentioned, and it has been recorded in a number of seerah kitabs. Madarij al-Nubuwa is one of them. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that one night, myself and Abu Chaham bin Hudhayfa, we decided we are going to go and finish off Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we went in pursuit of him and found him at that point in time. He was making tilawa of the Quran. And the ayat of the Quran that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says we overheard was Al-haqqatu mal-haqqah wa ma adraka mal-haqqah. You say that obviously that verse is on the aspect and the advent of Qiyamah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Al-haqqah, the reality. In other words, the Qiyamah that is definitely going to happen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting those verses, and myself and Abu Jaham bin Hudhayfa, we heard these verses, and Abu Jaham bin Hudhayfa immediately tapped me on my shoulder, and he says, we better run away from here. We better leave this man. Just the ayat of the Quran that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited had such an effect on these two people that they decided to leave. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, as a result of having heard these verses, we ran away, we fled from there, and we changed our mind at that point in time to do anything more to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The historians and the muhaddithin have actually recorded that this was that incident, which was one of the first incidents that was opening the door for the honor of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala's entry into Islam. And later on, when the door finally opened on him, was the story which we are going to mention now, which is very, very well known, alhamdulillah. It is recorded in all the books of Sirah, and we as children grew up listening to it in the Kitab Fadaili A'mal by Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahib rahmatullah alayh, Sheikh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayh. And that is why it is so important that we do daily ta'aleem at home with our children as they are growing up. So when they listen to these stories, it brings in their heart the greatness of Allah. It brings in their heart the greatness of the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also it brings in their heart the greatness and the importance and the respect of great sahaba like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nevertheless, the incident is very, very well known. That Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, though he abandoned the idea of annihilating Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this particular occasion, on another occasion he was sitting with all the senior enemies and leaders of Makkah Mukarramah from among the Quraysh, and they were so fed up and frustrated that the deen of Islam is spreading like this, and over and above that the Muslimin went to Abyssinia, they have been given refuge there, and this is just not on, we need to sort this matter out. At that time again, once more, the anger against Islam was inflamed in the heart of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At that point in time was still not a believer, and he says, just give me the opportunity, let me go and sort this matter out for once and for all. So we can imagine that gathering there, everyone expressing their frustration and their anger, and how that anger had caused everyone to become so inflamed and enraged that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, leave all this, I'm going to go and sort him out now. And he was immediately encouraged by the other enemies who said, surely Umar, you can do this. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu proceeded, and he went out with the intention of killing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for once and for all. And once more he went with this particular intention. And as he went on the way, he met one sahabi who saw the way in which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was walking, and he says, that where are you going? And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I am going to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going off to finish Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, the sahabi warned him that if you're going to do that, just remember that the tribe of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not going to spare you. Umar radiallahu anhu's attention was diverted to this man. He says, the way you are talking, it looks like you also have become a heathen. You also have left your deen. That man said, yes, I have. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, let me just sort you out here. But the man said, before you kill me, your own family also has become Muslim. And we know thereafter, the incident, says, what do you mean? Your sister and your brother-in-law have also accepted Islam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu forgot the sahabi. He forgot about Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his rage took an entire new wave, as we can say. And he say went to the family and to the home of his sister and brother-in-law. And as he came to the door, he must have banged and pounded the door in such a way that the sister and the brother-in-law who were in the companionship of Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that moment heard, and they all panicked. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu went and he hid away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was allowed to come into the house, and already in that state of anger and rage, he asked his sister that, do you people also now adhere and follow this new prophet? She said yes, and immediately he beat her up, he slapped her so hard. Not only that, when the brother-in-law came and tried to stop, he also got beaten. And when the sister tried to stop him from hitting the brother-in-law, she got beaten more. And in this way, she said, you can do what you want, O Umar. We are not going to abandon our deen. And we know the story very, very well. I'm just going over it very briefly to show the point how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So where was the attack supposed to be and where the attack finally went? And thereafter, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu felt a bit embarrassed that he had hit his sister. He saw her pleading and he asked, okay, so what were you people doing? So she said that we were reciting the Quran. And at that time he wanted to touch the pages. He said, no, you must first purify yourself. Whatever the form of the purification was, he purified himself. And when he looked at those words of the Quran al-Karim, according to most of the books of Sirah and Hadith it is mentioned, those were the words of Surah Taha. And he started reciting it, and it had such an effect on him that by the time he reached the verse, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ verily I alone am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَعْبُدْنِي worship me alone, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, okay, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the point we are talking about, that when he recited the words of the Quran, and at this point, that same Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom he had intended to assassinate and annihilate, that intention changed here. This was the point of transformation and the final point of guidance from deviation for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But more than that, this was the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decided will be where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be saved from the sword of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the story is well known thereafter. They went to the home of Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching the newly converted Sahaba. And at that time, he was informed that Umar radiallahu anhu is coming. Umar is coming. He said, let him come, let him come. And when he came inside, that Umar who had so angrily left the friends, the mushrikeen, to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, entered most humbly and respectfully into the presence of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him and he announced that I am here to accept Islam. So this is a perfect example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected and had granted safety and security to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We look at another incident which has been recorded also in the books of Tafsir, and that is a famous incident of the revelation of Surah Lahab. Now Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to invite his close friends and his family and his relatives, more than that, to the deen of Islam openly. And at that time, we know that when he invited them, they all came. And as he started giving them the da'wah, Abu Lahab got up and very angrily and rudely and disrespectfully, according to different narrations, pushed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam violently, or hit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam violently with his hand. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab, that may the hands of Abu Lahab perish, watab, and may he perish. And then, this was because he used his hands against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam violently. Up to this point, maybe he and others had also spoken abusively to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They made verbal attacks on him, but this was the first time that he actually physically used his hands. That's why this verse starts with the curse of Allah Ta'ala upon the hands of Abu Lahab, who incidentally also is the uncle of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that this entire surah was revealed. And in this particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention about his wealth and about his power, and also about the wife of who? Abu Lahab. And what was her name? It is mentioned her name was Ummi Jamil. And her mission all along had been to harm Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the one that used to go and buy, or rather go and collect, thorny bushes and thorny twigs that she used to then scatter in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night, so that he may be harmed to the maximum. When he tramples on it, it will cause him to bleed, and that's what used to happen. So she was the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ, that she is the one who is the carrier of the wood that was the twigs that she used to carry on her head, which had a lot of thorns on it. And the intention was not to bring thorny wood and firewood to come and make a fire in the house. No, the intention was to harm Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed her as well in this particular surah. And when she heard about this particular curse, she became enraged and she was infuriated that this man here, he is our enemy, and now he is telling us that a verse has been revealed upon him from his Rabb, and in there we are being condemned and we are being cursed. Let me go and sort him out for once and for all. And so she took a huge rock and she went in the direction of the haram where Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated in the companionship of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They too were seated at that time. And they had already heard that Ummi Jamil is searching for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, where is he? I'm going to find him. And as she was approaching them, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it will be best if you remove yourself from here. I see Ummi Jamil coming, and she is looking for you, and she has intended to harm you, because she is saying that you are claiming to have received a verse in which her family is being condemned and cursed, and she says she is going to hurt you, she is going to do whatever. So we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that don't worry, when Ummi Jamil comes, she will never ever see me. إِنَّهَا لَن تَرَانِي إِنَّهَا لَن تَرَانِي, she will never ever see me. And she came right up to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was seated right next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she addressed him, where is your friend? I have heard that he has been cursing and condemning me and my family. Where is he? If by Allah I find him at this point in time, I would have crushed him with the stone. And just remember, I am a very, very great poetess. And she started reading some poetry at that time to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting right there watching her and listening to her. And then she did not see him. And so she went away from there after saying these things to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and saying some vulgar poetry against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so she went away from there. And thereafter, when she went away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that, you see, here she was. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, apparently she did not see you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Until she was here, I was concealed by an angel. So again, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent an angel specifically to come and protect Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to form a barrier between him and Ummi Jamil and to conceal him from the gaze of the angry, savage, vulgar Ummi Jamil, who had planned to come and hurt and harm Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this again shows us how Allah Ta'ala saved him, and that's why we are discussing this name, Al-Mahfuz, the protected, Al-Ma'moon, the one who is under the safety and security, and Al-Ma'soom, the one who is under the fortified protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. We will continue with this particular series in the coming weeks. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ
وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ جزاكَ مولانا for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the أسماء النبي program with مولانا محمد علي. From myself, Muhammad Bam. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.